Well, our reading this evening is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 3. Last week, we were looking at Paul's prayer at the end of chapter 1. And this week, we're looking at Paul's prayer at the end of chapter 3. So Ephesians chapter 3, and that's on page 1174, if you have, and if you grabbed one of the church Bibles on your way in. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 14 to 21, a fairly short reading, but something that we can really focus on and get our minds around this evening. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Well, turn with me to the passage that we read together in Ephesians and chapter 3. As we work through what the Lord has for us this evening. If you've ever stayed in halls as a student, now, for some of you, that, we're testing the memory banks here. Go back quite far. If you've ever stayed in halls as a student, or if you've rented a flat for a year or so, it impacts how you feel. It impacts who you are. Because the space that you are occupying, you know it isn't where you're going to be long term. You're in a temporary phase of life. But then maybe you find a long-term job, and maybe you find a home. Some people find someone to marry, maybe even have kids, and you want to, as they say, settle down. If you're able to, you want to find a different kind of physical space to live in. You don't just want a house or a flat. Whatever one of those words, you want to find a home. Somewhere to put down some roots, somewhere to settle down. And in our passage this evening, the Apostle Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, there are two words in the Greek often used for the word dwell, one being a weaker version of the word, one being stronger. One meaning to inhabit, and one meaning to settle down. And this is the second word. This is the second use of the word. This is the word used here. It's the stronger version, not just to inhabit a space, but Christ wants to settle down, dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is asking a gloriously rich God to give strength to his people so that Christ will settle down and make a permanent home, a permanent abode, and to be at home in the hearts of his people. So this isn't a prayer that you would be converted, that you would become a Christian. At this point in the letter of Ephesians, he's presuming that's already happened. It's a good principle of Bible reading to try and keep in mind the full flow of a letter like Ephesians, because the question about becoming a Christian, being converted, being saved by grace, that's chapter 2. And in chapter 2, Paul has already talked about how we are all naturally, spiritually dead in our sins. A corpse can't unalive itself or undead itself, can't save itself. And so we need the power and the grace of God to save us who are dead in our sins. We're unable to get to heaven through our own works and our own efforts. And so he tells us in chapter 2, it's all about the amazing grace on offer through Jesus. It is by accepting that grace by faith, faith being the open hands with which we grab hold and accept that gift. And our sin is wiped away. Our debts and our guilt paid for, all for free and all by grace. That's chapter 2. But his audience here and the main thrust of his prayer tonight are largely for people who have believed in Jesus by faith. They are already united to Jesus by faith, him taking their sin, them, us, taking his perfect righteousness, so that when God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees Jesus. And we can breathe. Whew. Christ is already dwelling in their hearts through the Holy Spirit. So why is Paul praying for more strength, that Christ may dwell in their heart? They already have Jesus. They've already been saved by grace. What's he praying for here? For Christ to settle down. Well, first of all, then, this is a prayer for Jesus to take over. That Jesus would be the central figure that your life revolves around. That's the first thing, a prayer for Jesus to take over. When you first ask Jesus into your life as your Savior, and it's as if he now takes residence on the throne of your heart as your Lord, as your Savior, that actually might be a bit of a shock to the system at first. And initially, it's as if being a Christian is easy enough. I'm forgiven. I am free. God loves me. God has saved me. I'll do anything for him. But then those big feelings, I wonder how many of us have felt this, they level out over time. And you start to see all the ways that Jesus being your Savior and your Lord, through the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, in your soul, in your life, his presence with you always, how that actually means your life needs to change. That he needs to be the central figure around whom my thoughts and my motivations revolve. That I need to follow him. And it turns out, even as a Christian, I need more strength for me to give up areas of my life to his rule. You need strength to trust Jesus, not just with your salvation, not just with your soul, but with your family and your career and your money, your marriage, your children, your health, your future, your children's future. We need strength from God to give up control over these areas of our lives and to give it over to the Lord. It doesn't come easy. It's not always easy to have Christ dwell in your heart as Lord of all. And that's why we, through the Apostle Paul here, are shown how to pray for God's strength to do just that, for Jesus to settle down, to make us his home. I know guys who keep snacks out in the garage where their wives won't see the crisps and the chocolates and the drinks. Now, Anna is probably watching at home with Isaac. I don't do that. Don't look in the garage. Nothing is there. That's maybe because I have other hiding places. Don't look in the bottom drawer of my study. My point is that we are prone to holding back from Jesus. We're prone to hide things away. And even though he is my Savior and my Lord, you stick certain things out in the garage. It's like saying, Jesus, you can be in charge of dealing with all of my sin. Take away my sin. But I'm going to stay in charge of what I want to do in life, what my career, where I'm going to live, what I'm going to do with my money. Jesus, you're in charge of my Sunday mornings, but I've got the rest of the day to myself. Jesus, I'll do Sundays maybe the way you want me to. I'll stick to that idea. I'll give you that one day out of seven, but I'm going to live the other 6 days the way I feel I need to or the way I want to live those 6 days. And just like how it takes strength and maturity to be vulnerable and open with a friend or with a spouse, it is not weak to be open and vulnerable with a friend and with a spouse. In the same way, it takes strength and maturity to be open and vulnerable with Jesus. And just like how it is a weakness to hide snacks around the house, in my desk, in the garage, it is a weakness to try and stay in control of your life, as if our control really means anything. None of us know what tomorrow brings. None of us can dictate the lives of our family and our children and our spouses. None of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us are in control of our own careers. None of us knew COVID was going to happen. And all the control that we feel we need, all the anxiety it causes, the fears we have. Instead, it is a strength to let the King of all of time and space, to let the King who has ownership and authority over every inch of the cosmos, to control your destiny. It is a strength to let the strongest being in all the universe, who knows you, who made you, who loves you, and who knows you better than you know yourself, to be in charge. And to emphasize the impact that praying that Jesus will be at home, to be the head of your home, to take over, to emphasize the impact that letting him take over will have. And in fact, answering any question you may have as to why would I even want this? And for anyone who is here and you're not a Christian and you're listening and you're thinking, why would I want Jesus to come into my life? Okay, I can understand the whole saving me from all of my sin. Why would I want him to be in control of my life? Why would I want to be that kind of Christian who takes all of God's word seriously? I want to do my own thing. Why would I want this? Paul keeps on praying. Here's the second thing. It's not just here's a prayer that Jesus will take over, for Christ to dwell in your hearts through faith. This is a prayer for love to fill you. That's the second thing this evening. A prayer for love to fill you. Read verse 17 onwards again, halfway through verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, because if you let Jesus dwell, if you let him take over, you are being, in essence, rooted and established in love. Because he is love, and he loves you. He says, together, I pray that you, being rooted and established in power, in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp, the power to grasp, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, the power to know this love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Why let Christ dwell and settle down in your heart to make your heart his home? Why? The reason is so that you will know love filling you. That you will know just how much Jesus loves you, and that you will know this more and more and more. I talked about this morning at length about Jeremiah 29 and how this was a letter to the exiles to get them ready for a lifetime of exile life. Life is hard. We looked at that and, you know, it was a bit of a somber and a sort of reality check of what the Christian life will actually look like. But while that is true and the exile life is going to be hard, it's a life full of love. Because the more you let Christ take over, you let Christ in, the more you root and establish yourself in his love, you will know more and more of his love. Because love himself will be rooted in you. Who is this Jesus to you? Who is he? God himself stepped into his fallen creation, touching the stench of evil and abuse and oppression, the sheer injustice of this world, the ugliness of this world, among all the beauty and the wonder and the incredible gift that life is. Jesus, God in the flesh, stepped into our creation and walked among us. Not only that, not only did the King of heaven stoop down and humble himself to be with us, he went even to the cross and died to pay for your sins and mine. And we should think, what? Someone died for me. Don't think about anyone else for this moment. Just think about the sheer, you know yourself. You know what you've done. You know what you're capable of in your heart. There, but for the grace of God, go I. You know the potential of sin in your heart. And you may think, and you should think, what? Someone died for me. But I'm rubbish. I often cannot stand myself. I often think I'm worthless. No one should die for me. But we hear Christ, the Son of God, died for me. That Jesus, the Son of God, rose again to prove he died for me. That Jesus, the Son of God, wants to live in me. Not some temple. Not some building. Jesus doesn't live in a building, he lives in you. The Old Testament temple was just a picture of what happens when Christ saves us. He lives in you, the temple. And us, the stones together of the temple, the people of God together, Christ is with us. Jesus wants to live in me? Me? someone who sins constantly, someone who lets him down constantly, someone who's often oscillating between hot and cold and lukewarm, someone who's so lacking in love towards him, towards others, towards myself. He's promised himself to me. He's committed to me. He loves me. Do you grasp? Can you grasp? And like last week, pray with me right now that we would all grasp, especially those of us who don't yet know the love of Jesus, who haven't yet grasped at all his grace and love towards us. But may every one of us here pray in our hearts that we all would grasp how wide and high and long and deep the love of Christ is. This is a four-dimensional love that from every angle you look at Jesus, you can be amazed at the sheer scope of his love for you. It's wide. His love is wide enough to embrace the whole world. And you cannot remove yourself from that offer of love. It's wide enough that it doesn't matter your background. And don't you dare try and compare yourself to other people. What's the point? You are included in this offer of love. And you have this love if you trust and accept he loves you very much. Yes, he died for me. Yes, he's my Lord. Yes, he's my life. His love is long. His love is long enough to last for all eternity. Longer than any other love that you will feel on earth. How many of us chase someone to love and someone to love us, but it has an end point. And as great as that gift of love is, this is eternity we're talking about. The never-ending experience of life after death. And his love is long. His love is high. High enough to lift you to heaven. High enough to lift you out of the pains and the sorrows of this world. And that one day, he will lift you into that lengthy highness of the glory of heaven. Eternal joy with the one who loves you. And his love is deep. His love is deep enough to reach the worst of sinners. In the last few weeks, Netflix released a TV drama series. It's been a bit controversial, but it was about the real-life American serial killer and sex offender Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, some of you will remember him. He operated between the 1970s and the 1990s, not that long ago, and his crimes are unspeakable. But while in prison, convicted of 15 murders and everything else that he did, he was visited by a minister who shared the gospel with him. And in time, eventually, he said, "I have accepted Jesus." This is a quote. "I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Now, while we won't know the sincerity of those words until we reach heaven too, the scenario itself shows the radical depth of the love of God. Because we are all still prone to operate on the idea that, you know, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. But the gospel shatters that way of thinking. It tells us the bad news that none of us are good. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. There are no good people, not you, not me, not that little boy, not that nice little old lady, None of us are good. None of us are good enough. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's the great leveler. Because in front of the cross of Jesus, we're all standing on the same ground. There's no some of us up higher than others looking down at us. We're all the same. Our sin is so much worse than we all imagine because of who we're sinning against. The eternal source of life and light and love. But the love of God is so much greater, so much deeper, so much wider, so much longer, so much higher than we can imagine. That it's not just this idea of good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Anyone who trusts in the name of the Lord, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, no matter what they've done, will be saved. It may seem offensive and radical that a man like that could be saved by the grace of God. But he can. And so can you. Whatever you've done, whoever you are, how deep is the love of God to reach anyone? This four-dimensional love means there's hope for all of us. So when Paul prays that we will have power to grasp this, this means that you are to apply your heart and your mind to the immensities of God's love in Jesus as revealed to us in the Bible, to the point of owning that love, to grasp that love, to be able to say, I am loved. We are to pray for the power to realize I am a child of God. I am forgiven and free. Only the strength, only the work of the Spirit can lead you to that point, to realize and to grasp. I am His and He is mine. And His banner over me is love. In fact, to know the love of Christ, which is so enormous in breadth and length and height and depth, is to know something that even surpasses knowledge. No matter how much you look and learn and read and study and grasp the love of Jesus, His love is actually much bigger and wider than you are possibly capable of neatly packaging in your head. Because it's not a love to just put in your pocket. It's someone to know. The infinite and glorious God wants to know you and love you and make a home in your life with you forever, filling you with His love. It's Jesus wanting to make His home in you. As you let Him take over as the central figure and the Lord of your life, He wants you to know that asking Christ to be your Lord and King is not restrictive. Even though it involves sacrifice, and even though the life of a Christian is one of suffering, and even though it may run against your immediate desires, and even though it may be hard, asking Him to be Lord, letting Him take over, grasping more and more and more how much He loves you is to let real home, real love, make a home in your being. Because Jesus is committed to you. He died for you. Jesus is other-centered and unselfish. And real love is committed and sacrificial and other-centered and unselfish. And while those things are hard, as any of you that have made marriage vows and have committed in that vow to love, even though it's hard, it's better. When you love someone, I think any grooms with, again, using your memory banks, go back quite far back. If you did a speech at your own wedding, you learn that it's often not that explainable love. You'd probably now, even still, struggle to put into words how you feel about this person. Whether that's your spouse, or whether that's your child, whether that's a friend, whether it's a parent, how can you put into words how you feel? Some people are amazingly gifted and helpful with poetry and songs and speeches and cards. But even they can't capture perfectly everything they feel and everything we feel. No one song gets it all in one go. In many ways, all you can do is enjoy it. You can't put it into words. Get on with enjoying that love. Spend time with that person. Talk to them. Listen to them. Be around them as much as you can. You want to do what they want. And you cheerfully tidy up after them. Because it's love. And that's what it's like with Jesus. Sometimes we realize his love surpasses knowledge. I can't put it into words fully. But because it's love, you want to listen to him. And you want to follow him. And you want to enjoy him. You want to spend more time with him. You want to pray. And you want to read. And you want to worship. You're happy to deny yourself. And what you used to think were pleasures, what you used to enjoy, being with him and pleasing him is better. This is what happens when love comes home and settles down more and more and more. This is what Paul prays for this church, these people to experience. This is what he prays for the power for them to grasp so that they will know this love that surpasses knowledge. And we're meant to do this together with all the Lord's holy people because we can't live this life of love grasping faith by ourselves. Because you can't love properly and understand love properly when you make it about yourself alone. Christians, or if you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we are members of Christ's body. And so this isn't some institution to dip in and out of and give your time to because of some rota or because of some idea of guilt or whatever. This is a family to love and cherish and belong to, even with all our flaws. We need each other to push each other towards this love, to remind each other of this love, to forgive one another because of this love. And we experience this love together as we sing, as we pray, as we worship together. And so if you don't yet know this love, I pray you will. I pray you'll see how wide and long and high and deep the love of Jesus is. I pray you will trust in that love. And there are people here tonight who right now, even as I speak, are firing those arrows of prayer to God, saying, Lord, that person sat over there. I pray they will know your love. And you think of that Christian friend who you're praying right now, I pray that love will come and settle down and dwell in their hearts, and they will know more and more and more how loved they are. Because a Christian, you still need grace every day. Don't forget the grace that God shows you. Oh, we're saved, and then we slink back over time to thinking it's all about our performance and to thinking, oh, how rubbish I am, how cold I am. Oh, God must be done with me. He's got no time for me. I've let him down too many times. And remember again and remind each other again and pray for each other again and again and again of the grace and the love. To all who are backsliding this evening, to all of you who are struggling this evening, who all of you who are clutched in the snare of sin this evening, whatever it might be, I want you to grasp how wide and high and long and deep his love is for you. I want it to come home again and again and again for you. Listen to what Paul prays. Listen to what the Word says. This is a prayer for you. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for your loved ones. Pray it for everyone. And I pray you will experience the power of that love filling you with his fullness, because he gives you himself, not just a part of himself, not just a little bit of himself. He gives you himself. He doesn't just give you some of the Spirit and then you have to keep praying for more of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you have the person of the Spirit. He's yours. And the Spirit wants you to know the fullness of Jesus tonight, for now and all eternity. And so no wonder Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And if you are hearing me tonight, realize that the Spirit is at work within you, and the power of God is calling you tonight. Pray and call on the name of the Lord to be saved. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And I pray tonight you will say, amen. So let it be.